Recording again.
We'll go to Casey.
No. I'll give the case again. I was presenting it. Okay, it's we're on Shabbos Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. Okay, it's Klal Gadol. Should I give the disclaimer again? Nothing was recorded.
Nothing.
Okay, so the shiur that I'm giving is based on Rabbi Chait's shiurim that he gave on Klal Gadol. That's my disclaimer.
It's not
okay. Now.
It's not based on the shiur you just gave him, isn't it?
Okay. Alrighty. Okay, so the Gemara starts off, it's discussing the Malacha of Bishul. Okay? So the Gemara gives us a case that's an unusual case, and you'll see in a second why it's unusual, as the young man here just pointed out. Okay? So the case is like this. It's 10 lines from the top. Haiman deshada siksa la tuna. Okay, so the case is a person puts in an oven a stick, a log, a wooden piece of wood he puts in the oven. Okay? Now take a look at Rashi. I'll be a little more forthcoming here, okay? Deshada siksa shehishlich yased lach. He places in the oven a peg, a moist peg. So as you know, I mean, anybody who has a fireplace, right, if you get firewood delivered, unless you pay a lot of money, you're probably getting fresh firewood, and when you throw that in the fire, you're going to notice the thing is you hear all kinds of hissing, and all of the moisture that's in the log is boiling and burning out, and the log doesn't necessarily burn so well because it's very moist, it's wet. Okay, whereas if it's a dry log and you throw it in the fire, so then that's it, it goes up like that. Okay, so here you have a case where the person put in the oven, okay, a moist peg, a wooden peg, in order to do what? In order to dry it out? Okay? Okay. So, okay. So he wants to dry it out in order to harden. In this case, he's not drying it out to sell for somebody to throw into a fireplace or use as wooden fireplace, but he wants to dry it out because he wants to harden the peg. Okay, why he wants to harden it? I don't know. He needs it for some kind of application where it has to be hard. Okay, so he wants to put it in the oven to dry the moisture out so that the peg will be hard. Okay? Those are the facts. Okay? Now, so the Gemara says that in this case, if a person would do that, he would be over and chayev over the malacha of Bishul. He would be considered performing the malacha of Bishul, and he'd be chayev mitaraisa that he cooked. Okay? So Aaron made a very good observation, and that is that normally when a person thinks of Bishul, you think cooking is food. That's the normal idea of cooking, right? But you see, so the first thing you see from the Gemara, that Bishul is not really equated to what we call cooking. Okay? So we'll have to understand what is the definition of Bishul, because apparently Bishul applies to something that has nothing to do with Achila. Okay? It's a piece of wood. So we'll soon have to have some kind of definition of what Bishul is. Okay, that will include not only food, but a non-food item. Okay? But let's take a look at the Gemara. So the Gemara says that in that case, if a person would do that, put that peg in the oven, in order to dry it out, he would be chayiv the malacha of Bishul. Okay? So the Gemara says, now apparently this is pasha to the Gemara. The Gemara says, of course, pshita. That certainly is Bishul. Okay? What's the havamina to say that that wouldn't be Bishul? Okay, so Gemara says, "Mahu desema." I might say, "Lishurure mana kamechave." I might say that the man intends to harden it. Okay, now let's see. Does Rashi say anything? Yes, "Lishurure lechazek to harden it, to strengthen it." The ain kan bishul, and that is not bishul. Okay, hardening something through heat apparently is not bishul. Okay, why it isn't, I have to say. Okay, So the Gemara says, so why is the man chayiv if he's putting the wood in there to harden it? And hardening is not bishul. Why is the man chayiv? The first Rashi says that he intends to harden it, right? And the second Rashi is saying that since he intends to harden it, that's not bishul. Now, as the first Rashi is just explaining the case. The case is you put the wood in there to harden it. So what? So what's wrong with that? So the second Rashi is saying that that's a problem because hardening is not bishul. It's not the malach of bishul. And therefore, why does the Gemara say yechayev? Okay. So the Gemara say, gives the reason. The Gemara says, Mal de same lishri manikam chavein. I would say that he does this to harden it, kamash malan. But it comes to teach you the mirpa rapi, the hader kamet. Okay, that first the peg softens and then it hardens. Now, it's when you throw the moist peg in the oven, the first thing that happens is first it softens through the heat. Then once the softening process is over, then it hardens. Okay? Now why does that matter? Good.
I'm assuming that when you soften it again, that's when he's that's when he's chayav.
That's right. That's right. In other words, the Gemara is saying that the bishul, you chayav bishul because you softened it. If not for the fact that it softened before the hardening process, you would not be chayav. But what makes you chayav? The fact that there is a softening process going on. Even though he ultimately wants the hardening process, but since there is a softening process that goes on, you're chayav for that. Okay? But the implication is, if it would just be hardening, it would not be a problem.
Could you repeat the steps of the Gemara again? I think I didn't get them all. So first we said it's this thing is bishul and he's chayev.
Right.
And then we when we said pshita, we said of course he's chayev.
Of course he's chayev.
So what are you telling me? So then what would we say after that?
The Gemara says after that that the bishul you can only be chayev if you soften something, and since over here he intends to harden, I might think that he wouldn't be chayev. Because his intent is really hardening.
So that's addressing the pshita stuff. That's back
that's right.
In response to that.
To the pshita. That what chiddush is there here? That even though he intends, his ultimate intent is the hardening, since it nevertheless will soften, he's chayv.
Because so it's saying it's going to soften first, and therefore it shouldn't be bishul.
No, therefore it should be bishul.
But I thought we said he put it in initially to harden it.
To harden it, right?
So we said he's chayev for hardening it.
No, so the Gemara doesn't say he's chayev for hardening. The Gemara just says in that case he's chayev.
It's pasha.
And we don't know why.
Right.
And the Gemara says, well, why do you have to tell me this? What's the chiddush here? Right.
That when you harden it, you're going to be chayev.
Right. So the Gemara says the chiddush is because really hardening you wouldn't be chayev. The Gemara is, in other words, the Gemara is throwing out the whole thing. The Gemara is saying
So it wasn't really Pashut.
It wasn't really Pashut. That's right. It's a good question. Okay.
Right.
That's a good question. We can come back to that. I mean, what was the Pshita? Okay.
He's saying the steps of making it hardening is what makes it chayav. Is what makes you chayav.
The steps that go into the hardening
is what
right.
makes it chayav.
Okay, fine. It's a good question. Okay. You mean, because it sounds like the Gemara is assuming that hardening is...
Right.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's just follow the Gemara for a second. Okay. But so what the Gemara finally ends up saying is that the fact of the matter is that hardening is not where the bishul lies, but the bishul lies in the softening element. Okay. Now let me just take a look at Rashi and see if he has anything. Okay. Rashi says like this: Demerapa rape al yedei chom haor, through the heat of the fire. The hamayim shebesocho yotzin, the water leaves, uleachar sheyatzu meimav, after the water leaves, kamit miskasha, then it becomes hard. Okay? But the chirapi beresha havi bishulo. But the softening that occurred to begin with was the bishul. Okay? So let's just sum up the facts. Before we go through, like, how the Gemara, what the flow of the Gemara is, let's just sum up the facts. The facts of the Gemara is that when I heat something up and it hardens, that hardening process is not bishul. Okay. But if I heat something up and it softens, that is bishul. Okay? Those are the facts of the Gemara. Okay? Good.
It's the softening at that point in time? Well, let's say for some reason, maybe not for me, just, let's say you took it out right before, after it softened but before it hardened. Is it still...
Definitely, you definitely.
That's bishul. It's not like softening on the way to hardening. It just seems
as long as it's softening. Certainly, if the whole end product is soft, then certainly it's bishul.
Okay.
But they're saying even though your purpose and your objective was not for the softening, but it's just something that happened intermittently on the way, that's enough to be mechayev you. As long as any part of the process involves softening. We don't care whether it was your objective. You didn't intend it. Doesn't matter. Okay? As long as that is part of the process, it's the softening that constitutes bishul. Okay? That's the important thing that Gemara's teaching us. Okay? But if I take a soft thing and I make it hard, that is not bishul. Okay. Now the thing is, I mean, it's a little unusual because why do we prefer making the something that's a hard substance, why do we say that, well, if you soften it, that's bishul, but the reverse is not bishul? I mean, what kind of preference is this? Right? I mean, you would just say on the surface, if I take a thing and I heat it, and I change its characteristics, that's bishul. Why only this way? Yeah.
Because maybe by when it's softened, it's at a state of where you're changing the object of like making it cooked or not. Like in terms of bishul, sometimes when you put it back or put it in something, you're changing it like to cooked or not. So when it's softened, that's like when the object is being cooked or not, is being cooked in that state.
Okay.
And then when it's hardened again, you're not going to have that anymore. So it wouldn't be high anymore. You wouldn't be
okay.
High.
Okay. So you could say that the softening is, you mean softening is like something that's similar to preparing food, something like that. Okay, I mean that you could go along that track. That when I harden something, that's normally not what I do. When I try to cook something, cook a food, hardening is not necessarily what you want. Okay. However, the only thing is that here we're really not talking about food. We're talking about an industrial item. And an industrial item, you might say that I don't want soft things. I want something that's strong.
Plus, it's not true. Like we bake bread, we want that hard. It's dough. It's soft. And we want it harder.
That's right.
So
you take it soft.
That's right. Also, that is
exactly.
Special.
That's special too. Okay. That's right. Yeah. Sometimes you'll take something, a food that's soft, and on the contrary, you want to make it firmer.
Cookies.
What's that?
Cookies.
Crunchy. You know, you bite into a cookie and it's doughy, you go, this is uncooked. what kind of a dish is this?
You don't want a hard cookie. You want a cookie that isn't like doughy, but not hard.
Right.
Hard cookie is not good.
Different can.
You don't want something you're going to break your teeth on. I mean, exactly. You do not want a piece of cement.
Wood, on the other hand, is amazing.
Right. But when it comes to wood?
Right, it has to be soft. You don't want bread that's like really crunchy.
That's true. That is true. But you don't want it too soft. Yes.
So I was thinking that maybe we could stick with the original kind of intuitive way of thinking about bishul, that you are changing the state of the item, but it has to be a similar to a phase change, meaning like a qualitative change, meaning that by the wood, wood is something that is firm and hard. It's wood. It's hard. So when you make it harder, that's just, you're just quantitatively adding to what it already is.
Okay.
But if you're going to, so the fire is not really necessarily doing something qualitative to it. It's not really changing qualitatively. But if you're making it soft,
right,
now you're changing its like original way it existed into something that's, it's like a different substance, not a different substance, but it exists differently now. Now it exists as soft. Like, that's not wood. Wood isn't naturally soft. It doesn't work like that. So you could say that it really did change it now.
I see. Now it became soft. Whereas if you just harden it, you're just bringing out the qualities that really are there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's it essentially a wood should be hard. It's just
okay.
Okay, let me just, it's good, very good, very good approach, okay? But let me just further the question, okay? If you take a look, I should have told you, if you take a look at the Rambam, you want to get, should we get Rambams?
You get a bunch?
Which one?
Zmanim? Shabbos. Zmanim, yeah. Should I press something here and or just leave it?
All right.
That's not a race. Yeah, we're just going to leave it. What's that? Well, no, I thought maybe to pause it, but I think we're better off not pausing it. Because
you could probably fast forward 30 seconds.
Right.
30 seconds.
We'll try to tell a few jokes to entertain you while, you know. Don't get bored.
Stay with us.
Maybe the don't stick is being used for something. Like, in terms of baking or cooking or whatever, or cooking something, maybe when you use it, maybe back then, or wood was being used for something when it was softened. So maybe if you did it, it'd be an issue. Even if you were trying to harden it again, it would be an issue because you would bring it back to the state of when it was soft, which would have probably back then would have been used for something.
When it's soft.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, but take a look at the Rambam. Okay.
Which one is it?
It's the Rambam is Perek Tes Halacha Vav. Okay.
Would you ask a question like how, or maybe we did ask this, like how is this even, I guess we did ask, like how does this even relate, like relate, it doesn't even seem kedai to visual.
It's not food. Okay. Now we're going to see. Okay.
Oh, right.
That's a good question.
That's a question on the table, right?
That's a question on the table, right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Take a look. The Rambam, Perek Tes Halacha Vav. Okay. The Rambam says, Hamatich Echad Mimineh Matachos. Person melts one of the metals. Kol Shehu. Ohach Hamachamim Esa Matachos. Ashite Asa Gecheles. How is it told us Mevashel? Okay. If a person melts a metal, okay, that's considered a tolda of mevashel. Okay? That's a tolda. Alright? The Rambam says, V'chein hamamasmes es hadonag, person melts wax, o chelev, o zephes. Okay, any of these substances, if a person melts them, so the halacha is, that is considered toldas mevashel. Okay? That's a category of mevashel. And you're chayev. Okay. Then he says, V'chein ha-mavashol clay adama, achi yasecheres. A person makes earthenware from clay. So I assume, I mean, I'm not an expert in this, but I assume clay is something soft. Okay. And earthenware is something hard. So the first case he brought us was a case where you have a solid, and you supply heat, and you convert it to a liquid. So that's taking something hard and softening it. Okay, the second case the Rambam gives is something soft, clay, and you heat it and you convert it to something hard, and that you chayiv too. Okay, but you don't have to trust me. Look at the next line in the Rambam. The Rambam says, "Klalo shel davar." Here's the rule: Bein sheripa guf kasha, whether you soften something hard, ba'esh with fire, o shehiksha guf rach, or you harden something soft. So the Rambam tells you openly, it does not matter which way you do it. Whether you soften something hard or you harden something soft, chayiv. Okay? Either way. So at this point, forget about the problem in the Gemara. At this point, what would you say, according to the Rambam, the definition of bishul is? Based on what he just said. How would you define bishul?
Changing the status of a certain item in terms of, in this case, hardening something soft or something soft.
Okay. That's right.
Vice versa. changing the status of the object.
So it would be creating a change in the chefza, a shinoi in the chefza, through heat. And I apply heat to something and I create a change in the object. That's bishul. So you could have two types of changes. It's a solid I make into a liquid, or it's a liquid or something soft, and I heat it, I make it hard. Either one is a shinoi. If it's a shinoi to go from hard to soft, then it's the same shinoi to go the reverse. And the Rambam holds that if through Eish you create a shinoi in the object, you make a change in the state of the object, that is bishul. Okay, but if for instance I have something, let's say I have a liquid that's already melted, and I apply more heat to it, so I raise the temperature of the liquid, would you say in that case that I would be chayv bishul?
No.
No, there's no shinoi. The only thing I did, I applied heat. Let's say I have wax that's at 190 degrees. I have liquid wax at 190. And now I put it over the fire, and now I convert it, now I supply heat, and now I measure the temperature of the wax, and it's 280. Now let's assume the boiling point of wax, I don't know, is 500. Okay, so it's still a liquid, but I raised the temperature of the liquor from 180 to 280. Am I chayim bishul? No. There is no shinoi in the object. It was a liquid before, and it's a liquid now. So that's not bishul. Okay? Because the klal is whether I take something hard and make it soft, or soft and make it hard. But if it's soft and I make it soft, there's no shinoi. Yeah?
Specifically, are you excluding liquid to gas also?
Is that gas? He doesn't talk about gas.
Is there a reason he doesn't put that one in? I mean, it's a pretty obvious case.
That's a good question. What about if I take a liquid and I boil it and it becomes a gas? So what would you say in that case?
Isn't that like classic cooking?
Yeah, that's like water? Classic case.
Right? I take wax, it's a liquid, and I boil it to such a temperature that it starts to bubble and the wax disappears. What would you say in that case? Is that bishul?
I don't
think so.
Why?
Because liquid to gas, liquid's a solid form. A liquid's still a form of something.
Okay.
One gas is like nothing anymore.
Okay, so what do you think about that? Now, if he's saying that in bishul, it means you take an object and you make a change in it. Right? But let's say you take an object and through the bishul, it disappears. Through the eish, I cause the object to cease to exist. Insofar as it's a tangible something I could see, I cause it to cease to exist. Will you say that that is bishul? You say no. That's a very good spot. In other words, if you consider gas a entity, if we're dealing in the chemical world and we consider gas an entity, then you're right. Gas is a different form of the liquid. So I took a liquid and I put it in a different form. But let's say I'm not a chemist and I'm just going based on physical, how my senses see physical reality. So I'll say I took the liquid and I destroyed it. It doesn't exist anymore. You see, I might say that's not bishul, because there is no object. Bishul means where I create a shinoi in the object, but the object has to be extant. Okay? So it is possible. I mean, I think it's a good svara to say that if I take a liquid and I heat it to the point that it disappears, I might say that's not bishul. Okay? Possibility. Okay. Right? But in any case, it seems clear from the Rambam that in order to be bishul, it must be a change. So therefore, if I have a liquid and I make the liquid hotter, but it is still the same liquid, that's not a shinoi. Okay? So if that's the case, then you must make a shinoi. I'd like to just turn your attention to Halacha Aleph. Okay? Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says, Ha'ofe kegrogeres chayef. Okay? If a person bakes, he is chayef. Okay? Now he says, Echad ha'ofe es ha'pas, o ha'mavashel es ha'maychol. It does not matter whether you bake or you cook. You cook on a stove.
Which halacha is this?
Halacha Aleph. Okay? Baking or cooking. Okay, O es hasam manim, or the spices, O hamachamim es hamayim. Or if a person heats water, hakolini nechadu, he's chayiv. Okay. Now, let me just ask you a simple question. I mean, the Rambam said in order to have bishul, you must have a shinoi, a change in the object, meaning go from solid to liquid. But the Rambam now says that if I take water and I heat it, so there is no shinoi in the water, there's no change in the water, it just, I raised its temperature. The Rambam says that's bishul.
He's talking about bishul here, though?
I'm sorry?
He's talking about bishul?
Yeah, because this is the malchum bishul. Ofen bishul, same thing.
But he didn't say in Vav that. He wasn't saying a limiting statement in Vav. He said, those things are bishul. He wasn't saying something else is not bishul.
He said, close
with okay. True. But what definition can we derive from Vav? We have to have some idea of bishul, right? He gives us a klal. Okay? If I melt something or I harden something, that's bishul. Now why does he have to mention those things? So we said he mentions those things because it's not enough just to heat something. If heating something was enough, don't tell me that I have to harden it or soften it. Just say, any time I take esh and I expose a substance to esh, that's bishul. He doesn't say that. He says, no, you can expose to esh, but it has to do something to the object. If there's no tangible change to the object, that's not bishul. Just because you put H there, so what? Right? If that's the case, what about water? How could you tell me I exposed the water to H, it got very hot, there's no change? Well, why is that bishul?
Yeah. Some water will evaporate, though.
Some of the water will evaporate, that's right.
So it is changed.
Okay. But then if that's the case, so then any time, why does the Rambam have to say, I take something that's soft, that's hard and make it soft, or I take something soft and make it hard, why doesn't the Rambam just say, I take anything, if I take anything and I apply H to it, something will evaporate. Mm-hmm. Some part of it will change from a solid to a liquid to a gas. So you don't need this whole criterion. Just say, take anything and put it in a fire and you're immediately over. Because there's some evaporation.
I think that the evaporation. I think that some, like, let's say you're taking a metal rod. It's not going to change to a liquid to a gas.
Right.
Like it will require extremely high temperatures for that.
Okay.
Like wood, like to make it evaporate, you'd have to make temperatures really high, like higher than normal fire.
No, on wood, if you take wood, if you take a log, right, if you take a wet log of wood and you put it in a fire, you're going to see steam coming out of it immediately. Okay? You see, but that doesn't count. The Gemara never mentioned that. What the Gemara said, you see, that's actually a good proof to what he's saying, because really, when you put a log in the fire, steam comes out. You see? So why did the Gemara have to say that the reason why it's bishul is because you're softening the log? Forget about softening the log. You've converted some of the log to steam. That should be right away bishul, whether I soften it or not. Even if I don't soften it, let's say when I put it in the fire, it doesn't get soft. It immediately gets hard. But one second, isn't the moisture, you can see the moisture is evaporating, steam is coming out, so it should always be bishul.
You change the log?
You're not changing the log, you're just taking the water out of the log.
That's his point.
I understand that. What do you mean you're not changing the log? But if you're telling me that when I take if I take a substance and I convert it to a gas, if you're telling me that's bishul, there's something in the log that I'm converting to gas, right? You see steam coming out of there, so that's bishul. So apparently we can't consider that, because we don't treat gas as a substance. You don't treat gas as a substance. Yeah, if you're a chemist, but in halacha we don't say, hey, we have a substance of gas here. You can't deal with gas, right? You have to deal with tangible objects. Okay, so apparently causing evaporation is not bishul. But bishul means when you have an entity, and now I could look at the entity before the esh and after the esh, and I could say, hey, you made a change in that object. Yeah.
Maybe in the water in the first one. Because when you heat it up, it's hot. But then when you don't heat it up anymore, it goes back to being cold. Okay. So maybe that itself is a change. That's why we would say that it's bishul for water. And so it's a halacha of, I think.
Okay, and let's say I take hot wax and I heat it up and make it hotter. And then I take it off the fire. So the wax cools down.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't that be bishul?
I think there should be bishul.
Yeah, but the Rambam says it's the only time it's bishul is when the wax is a solid and I melt it. But the Rambam doesn't say if I take melted wax that's hot and make it hotter, you see, he doesn't say that's bishul.
So maybe that changed, though, from being hot to being stable to being where it was before. Those are two different times, like two different uses. Meaning, when it's hot, you're using it for something that's when it's really hot, and when it goes back, you're not really using it for that same purpose anymore. That could probably mean that change is also beneficial too, because you're using it for one thing when it's hot, like just right. Water. When you boil water, you put something in the water, like noodles or something like that,
right.
And you make it into noodles. But when the water's cold, you're not making it into noodles.
Okay. It's a good approach. So, yeah.
Is it Margaret?
Yes.
Maybe you can say by those substances and off the olive, considering the realm of Afila, there actually is a change taking place just when you heat them up. It's a different quality of engaging that food once it's hot as opposed to when it's cold. So there you could say just the act of heating it alone would be official. But by the ones that aren't in the realm of Afila, it actually has to be a different kind of change, like softening, hardening.
Good. In other words, so you're saying it's like this. There are two types. You see, the Rambam says that bishul means where I create a change in the object. See, but there are two types of changes. There's a physical change, hard to soft, soft to hard. But there's another kind of change. I could make a change in the identity of the object, in the status of the object. So if I take something that's not edible and I convert it into an edible object, that is a new shame. It's a change in the status of the object, in the identity of the object. It may not be a physical change, but in terms of how I identify the object, I'll say before the object is not edible. Now it's edible. So physically, there may be no change. But in terms of edibility, now it has a new quality. That's a change. You see? So that's two types of changes. Now, in metal, there's only one kind of a change. It has to be a physical change. Because what are you going to say? The metal is useful for something. We don't, halacha can't go into industry and decide what metal is useful for, what the identity of metal is. When you're talking about a non-food, it's just the physical characteristics. But when I speak about food, now I could say, even if there's no change in the physical characteristics, I could say, this thing's edible, that's unedible. That's a change. You see? Yeah.
By just making water hotter, you're not making the water more edible.
Okay. So it's a good question. I heat up water, it's edible before, and it's roi lechila now? Yeah.
But maybe you could say that what you're using with that water is making something more edible, meaning that, like, let's say, for instance, you're using the hot water to make like hot chocolate. You're turning it into something that will be edible.
Well, let's say I'm not.
Which question?
But what, what else would you be using it for?
Let's say I'm just going to heat up water. Who cares about bacteria? I'm just saying, let's say you didn't heat it up that hot. You just heated it up a little bit.
The Rambam says why you're heating it up. I mean, there could be other purposes.
You could use the hot water for anything.
It doesn't necessarily have to be for food.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't rolling for rechitza and now it is.
That's the sheer hamachanin.
You're still changing the idea. You're still changing the identity of the water.
He's asking a question on me. In other words, he's asking, right, he's asking that if I am saying that the change is from eino roi l'achila, you're making it from a non-food to a food. Let's say I cook a steak. So you say, before I cook the steak, it's a piece of meat. After I cook it, now it's a food. It's edible. Right? So you tell me that's a shinoi, that's a change. Right? Now water, right? You tell me that you're going from unedible to edible. I mean, the water's edible before and it's edible now. So where's the change?
Yeah, I'll make it even worse.
The point was that you're changing the identity of the object.
Right? Okay, the identity, right? So where's the change in identity?
So even though hot water is still the same physical thing, you relate to it as a totally different item.
Okay.
Not a more edible one.
No, but it's not about being more edible in terms of
but
water.
But that's what he said.
No, but I'm saying a different identity in terms of how it's used.
But that's what he said.
See, the thing is like this. The thing is,
I can't say anything
in terms of that ability. You see, the thing is like this. I'll give you an example, okay? Right, because he's asking like this. I'm saying that by bishul, you're taking something that's unedible and converting it to edible, right? And that's a real change, right? So Sammy's asking me, I don't understand. The water's edible, water's drinkable, right? You're just adding the heat. So why is that a substantial change? Why do you consider that like a new entity?
The hot water?
Yeah, the hot water.
So you relate to it differently because you use it for something else.
Okay, so the thing is like this. Let me just give you an example. Okay, Ramosha has a tshuva on a toaster oven. Not a toaster oven, a toaster. Okay, where you just, not where you cook things in there, but you just use it to make toast. Okay? So he says you do not have to tovel it. Why? Because the only time you have to tovel something that prepares food, I'm not talking about something that you eat with on the table, but something that you use in the kitchen to prepare food, the only time you have to tovel it is when that kli makes it into an ochel. But if it's fully edible before, and you are using that kli just to make a change in it because you want the bread dried out, the bread is fully edible the way it is. The only thing is you want to try it out for some reason. Okay? He says, that's not rendering it into a food. It was a food before, and you're just changing the form. Okay? But so he says you don't have to tovel any kli that doesn't make it into an ochel. Okay? So if it's an ochel before, and the kli just makes a change that doesn't make it any more edible, you don't have to tovel. Okay? But yet, you see that the Gemara says that a hot water urn, you do have to tovel. That's an open Gemara. Okay? So the question is, hot water, you're doing the same thing as a toaster. You're just raising the temperature of the water. It was drinkable before. Okay? So Rav Moshe said no, because hot water is a totally different drink. You see, the way a person relates to water, you see, when you want hot water, the water is not drinkable. For that purpose, it's not drinkable. If a person wants a hot cup of tea, and you bring cold tea in, you can't drink it. It simply is not in the framework of what he wants to eat. That's not edible. It's like bringing a guy an ice cold thing that nobody can eat, drink it like that. You see? So therefore, edibility has to do with how you relate to it. Okay, so in the framework of, when you go from cold water to hot water, it's a new chefza. It's a totally different food. It's true, it was edible before, but it was edible as one thing. Now it is totally a different food. Okay, so he says, that's why you have to tovel a hot water urn. Okay, so I say it's the same thing over here. It's true the water was edible before. You didn't convert it from unedible to edible, but you did convert it from one food to a totally different food. Okay, and that's a shinoi. In the area of food, that's a shinoi.
Just to clarify then, when he's saying hamachamim is a mind, so he's literally talking about going from cold to hot. He's not talking about, if you had already hot water and you heated up, it was 100 degrees and then you made it 102 degrees.
That's right.
That's not.
You wouldn't be over the rice.
Then you wouldn't be over.
You would not be over the rice, right? In fact, the only time you're over the rice is when you make it yad soleres bo. I believe. Okay? So in other words, if something's already yad soleres bo and you just raise the temperature, you're not going to be midaraisa, you wouldn't be, that would not be pishul. Okay? Because it was already hot and now it's just a little hotter. But if you go from cold to hot, it's a totally different drink.
That's what he's talking about, yeah.
That's
what
he's talking about. Yes. Yes.
So it is creating a new identity.
New identity. In terms of ochlim, you can't compare a cold drink to a hot drink. Hot drink's totally different. Yeah.
So why is that when you're restricting your definition to only ochel? Because why don't you just say anytime you change something from one status to another, like
two types of changes. You see, if I take wax, hot wax, and make it hotter, I'm consider that a change. Let's say I take wax that's cold. I mean, you can't have a liquid wax that's cold, but I'm just saying theoretically. Let's say you have a liquid wax that's room temperature, okay? And you heat it up, you just make it hotter. You're not going to consider that pishul. But if you do the same thing with water, you do consider it pishul. So apparently, there are two ways to define, there are two forms of change. Change, there's two types of changes. You could have a physical change, that demands an actual change in the form. from solid to liquid. You see? But a change in identity is also a change. And that's where you have the change of ochel.
When you say change of identity, you're restricting it to ochel.
Well, yeah, because you can't have any other, there's no other identity. In other words, the Torah doesn't recognize an identity just because the world recognizes different, liquid wax at a certain temperature. Let's say, we'll say that when it goes to 200 degrees, now that wax is a totally different thing because now you can use it for sealing letters. Okay, we don't recognize that. But food, we recognize. You see? So food is the only case where you're going to have a change in identity, an ideational change, not a physical change. Yeah.
So what about... I don't see. I think the toes example only confused me because now I don't see the category so much.
Why?
Because so you're saying he has a different identity. Let's say you can't use the hot water for you. And the proof for that is, let's say, hot water and cold water aren't
interchangeable.
Yeah.
Right.
But why couldn't I say the same thing with like crusty toast and like soft fresh bread?
You could. If that is your opinion, you could. You see. But Reb Moshe said there's no such thing like that. He says a person doesn't say, I can't eat this, this is not toasted. He says, it's just a person has a thing, he wants dried out bread, but dried out bread, it's not a mila. He says it's I don't know if I'm quoting him exactly. It's been a while since I read it. But the gist that I got was that, look, a guy, some people would want dried out bread. I mean, is that an intrinsic mila? Would you say your guy brings you, a chef brings you fresh bread that he baked right out of the oven, soft, steaming, and you say, oh, I can't eat this, it's not dried out. I mean, he says, ridiculous. So it just means that in certain circumstances, the guy wants the bread to be dried. But that's not, you can't say that's a new creation. Okay? So he says, that's just a condition. The guy likes that slight condition in the bread. It's not a new entity. You can't consider it a new entity. That's his heter. Okay, if you maintain, no, it's a totally different thing, and you can't even compare toast to bread. There's like two different things. It's like the difference between, I don't know, a meatball and what do you call it? And Kellogg's cereal. I mean, if that's the way you view it, okay. Listen, what can I say? But I'm just saying that's.
But otherwise, you'd say that. Let's say the right cold bread and the toasted bread is two different ways to eat the same thing.
Same thing. That's right.
But hot water and cold water, you don't say like, oh, I'm drinking the water hot. It's a different, you're going to say it's
That's
a
right.
different.
You're not going to say, oh, I have this cold drink, heat it up. It's a totally different drink.
You give a guy room temperature coffee, like, I'm not drinking this.
Yeah, right. Well, I can't drink this. This isn't coffee.
There's an issue with the iced coffee. That's true. Iced coffee.
Ice, but you see, ice coffee. Exactly. Not room temperature.
That's the thing. That's even if there was no iced coffee, you could say that then.
That's right.
But there is iced coffee.
There is iced coffee, right. But that's already a different thing, right. You see. So then you're right. That's right. You see?
I think toast would be more strict because hot water, you would say hot water, but toast is a separate word for it.
It's a good point. It's a good point. You see, the toast, there is a word. A different word. They don't even, it's not the same word. Very good.
You know, in some languages, they don't have, there are two separate words for cold water and hot water. They don't say.
Really?
Wow. I think it's Japan, maybe, or something. I just read this.
We have words for
everything. They don't have, it's not like cold water, hot water. Two separate pepper.
It's good.
The Eskimos have 100 different words for snow.
See, that's a good point. I mean,
we have so many words for snow also.
It's a good point. You see, there is a different name for it. It's a good point. But I'm just telling you, that was his thought.
Based on change. And change is defined in two different ways.
That's right, two different ways. That's right. Okay, so somebody asked me, Yoni, my son Yoni asked me when I was telling him over this this tshuva from a Ramosha. This was years ago. So he said to me, so then Midoraisi, you should be able to use a toaster on Shabbos. So I must say, I was a little taken aback there. I really had no good answer.
Yeah, let's say you have it on all Shabbos.
So right. No, but the electricity, I think.
But he's saying, let's say you have it on. Let's say you leave it on, and you want to dump the bread in there. Now, we're only talking the rice.
It takes up some of the heat, I think.
There's some heat. Yeah. Okay, but
so let's say
you
said it is only to do consistent heat the whole time.
Get a special toaster.
Right. We're asking, would it be bishop? Would it be cook? Okay, have it on time or whatever. What you work out those for. The question is, would that be bishul deraisa? Okay, because you're telling me you're not converting it from one ochel to another. So in terms of the ochel, there's no shinoi. Right? So what would you say, midaraisa? Would you say that that is bishul? If you put a piece of bread in there and make it into toast. Yeah.
I think so. Maybe I would say because you wouldn't eat frozen toast. You wouldn't eat it like something that's frozen. Not all the time will you eat it.
Right.
But you eat when you frozen. If you're frozen, it's cooking. But I guess maybe you have like bread that could be eaten like right then. Like you have room temperature bread.
Right. Let's say you have room temperature bread and you want to put it in the toast. Right.
That's not changing the status much.
That's not changing the status, right?
They're both edible, but frozen is
right.
Is not edible now.
Right, that's
frozen,
true.
Frozen would be.
Okay, but let's say it's room temperature. You put it in, right. You want to put it in the toaster. Would you be chayev midaraisa for bishul? So it would seem. Well, what would you say? What is that?
With frozen, also you'd be melting ice, isn't that just
right? Right.
The salt liquid.
Right. Right. But it would seem from what we. From our Gemara, right, you only have two criteria. One is a change from in terms of ochel, creating a new ochel. And what's the other one? The other is a physical change, going from soft to hard or hard to soft. Right? So now over here... Oh, so we have to wait. We have to wait to see. Because you might say it's bishul. Because then the Rambam say, if I take something soft and I make it hard... Now here I'm taking a soft piece of bread and I'm hardening it.
So
right?
Robin calls it bishul.
So that could be bishul. Right. Okay. We have to wait till we finish the Gemara to resolve this shiloh. Okay?
So right now it seems like Rav Moshe is wrong.
Right now... Oh, I see. You mean because...
That's a different mark. That's a different...
Okay. Because of that, no? Isn't that
well, I was just saying, because Rav Moshe was saying the only time you have to tovel is
oh, it's just, oh,
when you
right.
convert you're creating
oh,
the
right,
food.
Right. Right. You're saying with fish
but now there's a second definition of fish, which has nothing to do with food, which is right. just changing the characteristics of the object. So maybe under that category it's considered fish.
So it's right. going by the Rambam, yeah.
Right.
We got to get back to Yoni on this one.
We gotta get it back to Yoni, okay? There it may be considered bishul. But we have to finish the Gemara before we can decide that because we still have a problem in the Gemara because the Gemara seems to say that when you harden something, it's not bishul. And only when you soften something.
So there's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Gemara?
Now the question is, the Rambam can't argue with the Gemara because there's no, it doesn't seem there's any opinion in the Gemara that disagrees with this. So how could the Rambam write that hardening something is bishul when the Gemara clearly says it's not bishul. The only time it's bishul is when you soften. That's the question. Okay. So the question, it's the same question we asked. Why should I say when I harden something that's not bishul? I mean, I'm taking a log and hardening it. Why shouldn't that be just as much as bishul as if I soften the log? Okay. So Sammy, you had an approach to this, right? That we, right? Because our original question was that I say when I soften something, that's bishul, but when I harden it, it's not? Okay, so what was your approach? When I take a log and I harden it, why should that not be considered bishul?
What I was saying before?
Yeah.
So I was saying that we're not talking about a quantitative change in the object, we're talking about a qualitative change in the object. Meaning, because if it's starting out hard already, you're just making it harder,
right.
then it's not going to be, that's not going to be considered visual. when you're qualitatively making a change in state in the object, from soft to hard, then you'd be chayav.
Right, but the only thing is, soft to hard, but the Gemara says that first it gets soft, right? It starts off semi-hard, it softens, and then it gets hard. So therefore, according to that, really, and the Gemara is saying when it goes from hard to soft, that's the bishul. But one second, but if it went to soft, that means now when it gets hard again, it's going from soft to hard. So really, that should be a qualitative change. That's the problem, right? That should be a qualitative change. Yeah.
Can you repeat that, sir?
In other words, Sammy's saying that the only time it's a change is when it's a qualitative change, when I go from actually something that's soft to hard, or the reverse. But he's saying the log is really something hard, and you're just making it harder. Right? But the only thing is, the Gemara said that the log starts off hard, and then once you heat it, it softens up, and then after that it hardens. So then it would seem it is going from soft to hard. Right? Yeah.
Maybe he's not relying on that step of being soft. Hard is soft and hard again. Maybe he's not relying on that process. Maybe he's just saying if it's going back to hard, then like
it's going to work.
Because the end, maybe he's just saying at the conclusion of the whole entire process is that it's going to be harder than what it is. Maybe he's not relying on the fact that it's going to be soft and then hard.
All right, let me give you a possibility. Okay? When you heat a log up, right, and you make it hard. Okay, let's say you didn't heat it up. Let's say you just let it sit for around 3 or 4 years. It would become hard, right? Mm-hmm. It's a process. It's a natural process that's in the log that when it sits, eventually it hardens. Right? So therefore, when you do the bishul, are you doing something that would not happen anyways? Mm-hmm. No, it would happen anyways. So maybe the halacha is that it's only considered a malacha but for this thing, it wouldn't happen. In other words, it's only a malacha, something that will happen on its own, but I am just accelerating it, I'm hastening the process, but it would happen on its own. That's not a malacha. And the malacha bishul is only where the result occurs only because of the bishul. But if the result would occur on its own, that's not bishul.
It wouldn't get harder, it would get softer, it would decompose.
When you take a log, right, if you want to put a log in your fireplace, you have to let it sit for a few years. Why? Because it dries out and it gets hard as a bone.
And all would decompose.
That's true, eventually it would decompose. You see? But before that point, it would become very dry and hard. Okay, because the moisture would evaporate on its own. So wherever the thing would occur on its own, that's not malacha bishul. Yeah.
So you're saying when you're changing the natural occurrence of the...
It has to be a change in the natural thing. That's right. If naturally it wouldn't happen, and now you're imposing it through the bishul, that's malacha. But when you're doing something that's happening anyways, that's not malacha. That's not malacha.
Oh, so let's say you were over a lava pit.
Let's say you were what?
Over a lava pit.
Lava pit.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And you were to light a fire and cook water.
Yeah.
You were to heat up water. If you wouldn't be chayav, I think, right? Because you know, because
it's not fire.
It would happen anyway.
You're saying the water is already over a lava pit. It's under a source of.
It's destined to become.
And then you put fire on and burn it? And you do it?
Heat up faster.
Okay, so what is that?
I think, aren't we talking about like something in a normal situation? Meaning, like, if wood was over lava, it would burn up.
It's the way the thing. Right.
It means inherently.
Inherently, it's natural. Forgetting about situations.
Changing the natural occurring thing.
Right. That's what you're talking about.
Did one halacha recognize, I guess intuitively, I don't think you see that. Why would halacha recognize in the natural occurrence over many years of what, you know, that doesn't really
because it has to be a result that is attributable to the malacha. If it's not attributable to the malacha, That's not yinot over the iser. It has to be something that you can only attribute to the malacha. Now this you can't only attribute to the malacha because the thing would have happened anyways.
I mean, it would have happened anyways over the course of years,
right?
Not touching. I don't know. It seems like.
Okay, I hear what you're saying.
So by touching it, taking it for your with your benefit, and doing something with it, that's when you do change it, though.
Right.
So you're not if it sits there for years, you're letting it sit there. You're not using it. But when the time comes, I guess when you use it and you do something with it, I think that's when they say is that when you do something with it, that's going to obviously change what it used to do. I think that's what you're
saying. Right. I don't. I mean, think about it. In other words, the malacha is you're creating something new. You know, you're imposing. You're utilizing a process. You're effectuating a process and imposing on something a new. It's a creative process that's producing something new by Yad HaAdam.
Yeah, I think like also forgetting about how long it's going to take to happen, meaning that's where it's naturally going towards, meaning it's going towards drying. So it might not be as dry as how as when you like put it in an oven, dried it out, but still this thing naturally goes towards the state of dry.
That's right.
So if you dry it out, okay, very nice, you dried it out more, you're not taking it away from its natural process. Not necessarily its natural state, its natural process is to dry out. But you affecting on it a different natural process, let's say by softening it, okay, how soft you're gonna make it, now you did a process that's not natural to you.
Going against the inherent nature of the thing, that's a shinoi. A shinoi means where the thing is X and you produce a shinoi. But is that a shinoi if it's drying out? And the thing is, I'm facilitating that. Is that a shinoi? Yeah, maybe quantitatively, but qualitatively, is that a qualitative shinoi? You say no? This thing, it lacks in a shinoi. So what you're saying is, yeah, but you're doing something. It's true, but it lacks in a shinoi. If it's not a complete shinoi, that's not all. All right? Okay.